Some of y'all have noticed on the screen or paid attention to our, I don't know how new it is, but it's kind of become our theme around here, our vision statement, or our goal is the reach up, the reach in, and reach out. And I've really been meditating on that lately and really been thinking about that. And what it got me around to thinking was about how things in Scripture, when they come in threes, what the number three. You know, the number three in Scripture is pretty significant. The number three represents, it's symbolic of wholeness or completeness. When you think about things in threes in the Bible, number one, you think about God. He's a Trinity. He's Father, He's Son, He's Holy Spirit. You think about us. We were made in God's image. We're body, we're soul, we're spirit. In 3 days, He rose again. That complete work, right? Amen? So I think about things in three. I think about, like, I don't know how many of y'all have ever heard a teaching on the tabernacle or the temple or know anything about the temple, the Old Testament temple, but it was three sections. And it represented three. And actually, I can't even start on what that represents because that can apply to nearly every aspect of our Christian walk. But I got to thinking about it, and actually Jesus spoke of reach up, reach in, and reach out. Did y'all know that? Not necessarily. He didn't necessarily use that language. He didn't say reach up, reach in, reach out. No, but he spoke of the concept. If y'all were looking, Mark chapter 12, skip on down to we'll start at 29. It says, in the first of the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. How many is that? That sounds like four, but that's three parts of you. With all your heart, with all your soul and your strength, and all your mind. You understand what I'm saying? There's three right there. How many of y'all want to be a whole, complete Christian? You want to be a complete one? Think three. Think three. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart. There's your spirit. With all thy soul and all thy mind. There's your soul. And with all thy strength. There's your body. That's number one. That's reach up, right? He says, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your body. Amen? He said, and the second is like, namely this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Now that sounds like only one thing, but that's actually two things mentioned right there. See, he said for us to love our neighbors as who? See, there's the reach in. We got to love ourselves. There's a prerequisite to loving our neighbors. There's a prerequisite to giving love, and that's first we've got to love ourselves. We've got to look at ourselves, and we got to love. Not necessarily what we are, but what God has made us. Amen? But he says that we're to love God. Man, I don't know what all this stuff is. He says we're to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and all of our body. You know, and that sounds simple enough. Yeah, we love God. Who loves God? Does that sound pretty simple? But it says with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our body. But you know, sometimes there's things that come in between us and God. A lot of times we get busy with work, with family, with, you know, actually church stuff. We get busy with this. We get busy with that. And a lot of time that kind of starts to take away from our time with God. And it starts to take away from our relationship with God. But he says, the scripture says that you're to have no other gods before you. In other words, there's to be nothing that comes in between you and God. Nothing. You know, and I think when I think about my Christian walk, I think about it in cycles. I go through this cycle. You know, God will, you know, and I tend to pray this prayer some, and it's, you know, not that I'm any better, but I tend to pray, you know, God, show me my heart. Show me the things where I need to improve, where I can get closer to you. Show me those things where I can get those out of my life, where I can get closer to you. But then what that does is that starts to reproduce, and you start to become more productive in the kingdom and bringing other people. That's the reach out part. We'll get to that later. But he says you're to have no other gods before you. So you got to get in there and you got to find those things that come in between you and God. Sometimes they're subtle and sometimes you don't even know they're there. But you know what? They're there. Because, you know, myself, number one, I can't speak for y'all, but, you know, I don't always walk by the Spirit. Really? No. I can see the looks on your faces. Really? No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, sometimes there's things that come in between me and God. And I got to weed those out. I got to find those. And I say, God, show me those things. Because a lot of times they're just things that we don't notice. You know, they're subtle, but they're there. And they're busy. It's busy stuff. But we got to find those things. And we've got to get rid of those things. A lot of times it's our issues. And this has really been heavy on my mind lately. I know John's in our life group, and we tend to talk about it a lot. I tend to talk about it a lot. Maybe it's just me. No, really, but you know, we all have issues. I think everybody has issues. I can't look around and see anybody in here, including myself. I can hold the mirror up right here. We've all got stuff. We've all got junk. We've all got baggage. We've all got things. But you know what? Those things, if we're not careful, become an idol. They get in between us and God. And we find ourselves thinking, you know, this stuff's kind of too big for God. You know, maybe you're thinking that subconsciously, but you find yourself in a place where you're not saying it in words, but you're saying it in deed, that where you throw your hands in the air and you give up and you say, well, I can't tackle this one. It's just too big. But you know what? I think Terry Roark sings a song, "There's Nothing Too Big for My God." Amen. But y'all, there's issues. Everybody has issues. Granted, our issues are different. They vary. But everybody has issues. Everybody has things that, if you think the area of influence in your life from the time you're about six, well, we'll just say this, from the time you enter public school, what's the biggest percent of influence in your life? And those things over years, over time, they compile and they pile up and they pile up and they pile up. You know, where's Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So those things that's going in, they're piling up. All of a sudden they cloud and you can't see real clear. And all of a sudden you have all these things. You know, we have put ourselves in positions where, you know, maybe we didn't put ourselves there. Maybe we just kind of found ourselves there. But anyhow, there's places that we've been, there's things that we've seen, there's things that we've done that, wow, you know, now we've got all this baggage that we're carrying with us. And now it's, you know, it's kind of keeping us from just really breaking loose and going on with God. But I'm going to tell y'all something. When he says that he forgives you, when he says that he can bear that burden, you know what? He can. And he does. And he does. And all we have to do is let it go. But, y'all, we have stuff. We have junk. But that really kind of brings us to the next thing, which is to love yourself. See, our job as Christians is to spread the gospel. That's to spread the good news. We carry the gospel into wherever we go. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But you know what? Before you do that, there's something you got to take care of. We got to take care of this right here. Because, y'all, we're not going to be effective. It's going to be very, very difficult to maintain a relationship with God if we're not taking care of those things. I'm pointing here, but what I need to be pointing is right here. Because that's where the devil attacks us the most. He attacks you on a personal front. The first thing he does is try to keep your past held right up here. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. He tries to keep it right here. Tries to keep it right in your face. Y'all, the past is gone. I can't tell you, that's one of the biggest revelations that I ever had in my life. You know, I haven't been in some of the in the same boat y'all have, but you know, I done my share of drugs, I done my share of alcohol, I did a lot of things that I shouldn't have done. You know, and I have a lot of reasons to beat myself up. But you know what? I've had that revelation in my heart. God has taken that stuff and he said he throws it in the sea of forgetfulness. He says he takes that stuff and he throws it as far as the east is from the west. Y'all know that's never ending. And a lot of times we bring that stuff back up to God, and you know, and I can see the look on his face. He's going, "What are you talking about? Huh?" He's forgot about it. But the devil don't want you to forget about it. But you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in our minds. You know, it says that he's given us a sound mind. Y'all, all we got to do is lay claim to this stuff. It says all the promises of God are yes and amen. If he's promised you a sound mind, guess what? You got a sound mind. You know, devil may try to tell you something different. You know, devil may try to tell you that you're crazy. But you know what? God says, I got a sound mind. You know, he tries to tell me that I'm crazy all the time. Sometimes he uses my wife to do it. Among other people. I've had a lot of people tell me I'm crazy. But I'm not crazy. I've got sound mind. No, but seriously, I mean, he tries to convince you of things. You know how, y'all know how the devil got Adam and Eve to fall? How he convinced them to give him, to just hand it over? He got them to doubt God's word. Because God told them, God said, every time you hear God said, take heed. God said, if you eat of the tree with the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, it said, you will surely die. Now, that was a dual meaning word. It meant, in dying, you'll die. Number one, his spirit immediately died. Adam and Eve, when they ate the fruit, when they disobeyed God, they sinned, they separated themselves from God. And all of a sudden, y'all, I just had my thoughts just go. You ever have that happen? Just mid-sentence, where'd it go? Where do they go? But he got them to doubt his word. He said, God said, I'll get it back in a second. I'm going backwards, so I'll get it. But he said, don't eat of the tree. And the devil come in, and he said, you'll die. You will die. Number one, man wasn't created. Did you know your physical body was not created to die? Did y'all know that? Adam and Eve's physical body was not created to die. You know, even today, your body still shows signs of that. Even doctors, you ever had got a cut and it healed up? You know that a doc, you know, the scientists, the people that study those kinds of things, they can take you through every step of cell reproduction, of how your body heals itself. They can take you through every single step of it, but they can't explain to you one second why it happens. They have no idea. I can tell them why. I didn't even go to college for science, and I can tell them why. Because God did not create your body to die. The curse, well, that's what happened in the Garden of Eden, was the curse. All of a sudden, the body dies. Now, your spirit, you know, their spirit died too. But here's what, I'm off track, I'm way off track. But here's what happened. The devil come in and said, you know what? Did God really say you're going to die? You know, how many times have you looked at a promise in the Bible and say, well, does God really mean that? You know, and you kind of talk yourself out of the promises because, you know, here that's what the devil does. He comes in there and he twists it just a little bit to make it just that little bit, you know, just to put that much doubt in any promise. And you know what? When you have that much doubt in any promise, it's going to be hard to hang on to it. You know, he says that when we pray, we should pray without doubt. Without doubting in our heart, that's when we get those promises. When we say, okay, God, you said it. We got it. We got it. We got it. We got it. Without doubt. If he said it, we got it. Yeah, I think we need to learn how to pray. And I really feel like somebody needs to hear this. And I'm just going to say it. We need to learn how to pray. Because praying is not telling God your problem. God knows your problem. You know, we spend a lot of time oh God, you know, and I'm not making fun of you really, but listen, we spend a whole lot of time begging God for something that He's already done. God don't want you to pray the problem. God wants you to pray the solution. You find your solution in that scripture and you say, God, your word says. And you make a demand on His abilities. Just like the woman with an issue of blood, she made a demand on His abilities. She said, everybody said, she said. She said it with her mouth. She said, if I could just touch the hem of, and I love this story and I say this all the time, but she said, if I could just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be healed. She said it. She believed it. She knew what was going on with Christ. She knew that He was healing people all over the land. And she said, everybody said, she said. She said, if I could just touch the hem of His garment. And I love this. I picture this in my brain. That Jesus walking through this throng of people. There's thousands of people around. Everywhere He went, there was always just people. Just. And He's walking, you know, the disciples were all crowded around Him, and they're all just kind of trying to push through this crowd. And, you know, and the disciples is what makes me laugh about this story, because they're all going through here, and they're going through like this. And all of a sudden, Jesus stops, and He goes, who touched me? And I can just see the look on the disciples' face, and they kind of look at Him, and they go, who didn't? What do you mean, who touched you? You know what I mean? I mean, there's just thousands of people around. He said, you know why? He said, I felt virtue leave my body. And then He turned around to the woman, and I don't remember exactly what He said to her, but then he said, your faith. Everybody say, your faith. Your faith. Say it again. Everybody say, your faith. He said, your faith has made you whole. It was absolutely nothing that He did other than be there. Let me tell y'all something. He's there. He's here. All you got, it's your faith that makes you whole. You got something, you got an issue you're dealing with, it's your faith that makes you whole. It's you saying, God, you promised me. You promised me. And I thank you for it. And whether you see it immediately or not, you keep thanking Him for it because it's yours. And you lay hold of it. Everybody said, amen. Thank you. Thank you. Woo, I got way off track right there. And we're talking about loving ourselves. Because, you know, a lot of times when we drag our past around, it's hard to really love ourselves. And I'm talking about honestly loving yourself. You know, I hear it all the time. And I find myself doing it, too, is, you know, you just speak words about, the problems that you have with yourself. You know, I'll tell you my biggest guilty one is I talk about myself being ADD. My wife will talk about me being ADD. She says, according to her, I have the worst case of adult ADD in the land. Just kidding. But you know what? That's not something that I have to live with. And I mean, that's not something that's going to remain. Yeah, I may deal with it right now, but that don't have to remain. Because God made me of sound mind. He's really dealt with me over that over the years. But I still find myself saying, you know, it's my crutch. It's what I lean on. You know, if I don't follow through with something, I'm being pretty open with y'all right here. When I don't follow through with something, you know, and I'm just pretty ADD, I forgot. Tried to remember, really, I did, but you know. No, but you know, I mean, you know how it is. Is anybody else in here accused of being adult ADD? I could probably point the rest of you out that didn't raise your hand. But you understand what I'm saying is that, you know, yeah, I may deal with that. That might be a physical issue in my body, but you know what? I can overcome it through the power of God because He said I could have a sound mind. And, you know, and when I start confessing that, and when I start, you know, when I'm meditating on that, the times when I'm meditating and I'm really thinking about that, you know what, I find myself, my memory getting a little better. I find myself being able to focus a little better. But then on the other hand, when I find myself using it as my crutch and start saying, you know, I'm a little bit ADD, you know what? It's those times that I'm a little bit ADD. It's the words out of your mouth. You know what? Guys, we got to be careful what comes out of our mouth. We absolutely got to be careful what comes out of our mouth. You know, it says, the Bible says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. You know, I'm amazed sometimes by the reciprocals in life about how things in Scripture are just a complete opposite of the world, because the world will tell us that, you know, you can't, nothing anybody can say will hurt you. You know, nothing anybody says is the, you know, but the Scripture says something different. The Scripture says that the power and life of death is in your tongue. The Scripture says it's harder to tame it's harder to tame the tongue than it is to tame a team of wild horses. Y'all, be careful what you say. Be careful what you say to others. Be careful what you say to yourself. Be careful what you say about yourself. Be careful what you say about others. Be careful. I sound like a safety video now. Be careful. But seriously, be careful about it. Pay attention to the things that you say. Just like you got to take a hold of your thought life. You know, we need to think before we speak. You know, I'm just as guilty as anybody. And I know a lot of times, you know, especially when we get with the guys, you know, one of those guy things is to just kind of cut on each other. Guys, can you testify? We cut on each other. Come on, admit it. We do. We cut on, you know, we just take that one. But, you know, sometimes after doing that, I kind of feel guilty. And sometimes I got to go up and say, man, I didn't really mean that. You know, I'm sorry. But, you know, those things cut. And something you don't think about, there's a little bit of truth in everything everybody says to you. Right? Just a little bit, Schroed, not much. But here's the thing. A lot of times those things that we're saying to other people makes it hard for them to love themselves. Y'all, to be capable of loving others like the Scripture tells us to love others, we have to love ourselves. And I'm going to tell you, though, you know, man, that sounds hard to some people. Some people, maybe it's not so hard. You know, maybe some people have had this revelation here that God sees you as perfect when He looks through the eyes of Jesus Christ. You see, the blood of Jesus has washed you clean. And the only way, you remember when I talked about earlier about how we're able to come into His presence? You know how we're able to do that? It's by the blood of Jesus. See, He washes away all those sins. He washes away everything in our life, because, listen, if we still had that sin, we couldn't come into that full presence of God. Because when sin comes in contact with God, that sin's got to be judged. It has no choice. God has no choice but to judge sin when it comes up before Him. You know, you even look in the Old Testament where it talks about God's wrath. It talks about the sin coming to Him. It wasn't Him coming down and saying, I'm tired of this. No, the sin come to Him. And that sin had to be judged. It's just like if you're sitting in a dark room, completely dark, and there's a pinhole in a wall and there's a light on the other side, guess what? You can see that, can't you? You know why? Because the light must overcome the darkness. It has to. It has no choice. The light has no choice but to overcome the darkness. So y'all, listen, He said the veil is rent in twain. I pray that you have the revelation of what that means. You know that in the temple, in the tabernacle, in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, there was a big veil that divided them. It was a piece of, like a tent canvas that was about that thick. You know, somebody wasn't going to just run up there and go. Y'all, when that was ripped in half, do you know what that means? Wow. You remember in Genesis when it talked about Adam and Eve walking and talking with God in the garden? It meant we could do that again. Wow. No, we can now. We can now. Y'all, it said the veil was rent. You know what that room, what that veil divided? It divided the Holy of Holies where His presence was. Nobody could go in there because of what I talked about, you know, because the sin had to be judged. But listen, wow, Jesus took our sin. It don't have to be judged anymore because He took it away. And we can come into that Shekinah glory, that presence of God, that very presence face to face with God that Adam had. Y'all, we can do it. At will. We don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit to just come and take over.
Y'all, we can do it at will. He said, come in, come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly. Y'all, we can come boldly into the presence of God. Do you hear me? We can come boldly into the throne and say, God, here I am. Wow. I'm telling y'all, that's one of the things I am most thankful for. Most thankful for. We can come right straight into the face of God and say, God, here I am. Do with me what you need to do. But you know what? I've done a lot of things in my past that I'm just really not proud of. But you know what? I don't live in them. God can use me. Because I have learned to see myself. I've had that revelation. That's why I say I pray y'all have this revelation if you haven't had it already. You got to see yourself as God sees you. You got to be able to just to know that He sees you through the eyes of Jesus. He sees you as perfect and whole and clean. Wow. You know, even the best, Mother Teresa, just, you know, picture in your mind the most perfect person you think you might know who it is. You know, I think of Mother Teresa. Everything she did was good. She didn't have no bad in her. Everything she done was just given, give, 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 give. But you know what? Without Jesus Christ in her heart, she would have went to hell just like everybody else who didn't have Him in his heart. Because the Bible says that our best. Y'all, you can't be good enough to earn your way into heaven. Cannot be good enough to earn your way. Our very best, Mother Teresa's very best, is as filthy rags before a holy and just God. And it's not because we're bad people. It's because of the curse. It's because of what happened in the garden. But he said, you know what? I've taken all that stuff, and I've wiped it clean. I've wiped the slate clean. You want come boldly to my throne? Come back into my. You know that's where. You ever get your brain so full you just can't even say nothing? Y'all, we were designed to be in His very presence. It said we were made for His glory. That's what the Scripture says. We were made for His glory. We were designed to be in His very presence. And let me tell y'all something. If we don't get there, there's something missing in our life. You know, I talked a little bit about the tabernacle. There's three parts, and I'm going to give you this in the simplest form I can in the time allotted. There's three parts to the tabernacle, think of it as a roadmap into the presence of God. There's three parts. There's the outer court, there's the inner court, there's the Holy of Holies. In the outer court, we take care of the physical things. You know, we shake off the day. In the inner court, we start dealing with the soul. We start dealing with our mind and our will and our emotions. I'm going to tell y'all, most Christians don't make it past the holy place. They don't make it past that second level. Remember we talked about three a while ago, about being complete, about being a whole Christian, about being the total package. You got to think in threes. You see, if we only come to the middle part, where it's just our mind, our will, and our emotions, then we're not moving on to where God wants us to be. And in order to go through them cycles, you can't skip a step in these cycles of your walk. You have to deal with these things. And if you never get past dealing with those issues, if you never get past dealing with those things that keep you out of the Holy of Holies, that keep you out of the presence of God, you know what? We're not going to move on to the next one. You're going to stay right there in that one for the rest of your life. You know, I've known people that's dealt with the same issues for 15, 20 years. The very same issues that they was in 15 years ago, they're still in now because they never make it past that inner court. They never make it into the presence of God. And y'all, and I think it speaks of true repentance too, because when you get into that presence of God, your mind changes. And that's what repentance is. Repentance isn't saying I'm sorry. Repentance is having a whole change of mind. Your thought process ain't the same. Repentance is you don't think the same things that you used to think. That's what repentance is. And until we get into that presence of God and let Him change our minds and let Him give us those revelations, y'all, we ain't going to get there. We've got to move on into the next place. We've got to move into the Holy of Holies. We've got to come boldly into that throne room. where His presence is. We've got to get into His presence. Y'all, that's where we begin to love ourselves. I think there's a lot of Christian people that lack confidence. They lack self-esteem. They lack... I see a lot of self-esteem issues in the church. A lot of them. That shouldn't be in the church. Listen, you are what God made you, and you are nothing else. But you know what? That's everything. You're a child of the King. I said, you're a child of the King. One more time, because there wasn't nearly enough amens. I said, you're a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are a child. Wow. Wow. Why do we go through these things? You know, and I'm not guiltless. I have self-esteem issues. I'm 5'6", 200 pounds. You don't think I have some self-esteem issues? But you know what? God don't see 5'6", 200 pounds. God sees Jerry, His child. I've had that revelation. So at 5'6", at 200 pounds, I can stand up here and not be worried about it. Because I know who I am in the kingdom of God. I do. I pray every day that you guys have that revelation. Have that illumination. Know who you are. And I don't care if you got saved yesterday. That's who you are today. A child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wow. Creator of heaven and earth, the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the everlasting Father, the captain of our salvation. Amen. That's who's our daddy. I'm preaching a whole lot better than y'all are shouting. Holy. Love yourself. Love what God made. You are God's creation, created in His image. Love yourself. And I'm not talking about a vain love. I'm talking about love yourself the way God loves you. Man, I'm His tool. I'm His creation. That's who I am. I was formed by the Creator of heaven and earth. Wow, that's who I am. That's who I am. Say it again. That's who I am. Say, I'm a child of the King. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And y'all, we're joint heirs with Him. I might get all Pentecostal on y'all. You just never know. But here's the thing. You know, this is my opinion, that to truly love other people and to truly share God's love, I think you need to be able to love yourself. Because that's what He said. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love yourself, how are you going to love your neighbor? How's that going to happen? Because He said. Everybody said He said. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love yourself. I'm trying to move on, y'all, but that has been an issue. That has been just in my spirit for about 3 years now. About how the church, how there's so many people in the church that beat themselves up every day, day after day after day after day, beat themselves up. But why? Love yourself. Love yourself. See yourself as God sees you. How's He see you? Perfect, clean, spotless, white as snow. Wow. Aren't y'all thankful for that? Man, that's the thing. It don't matter. It don't matter what you've done, where you've been, what you look like now. It don't matter. It don't matter. He sees you as perfect. And He says, come into my throne. Come here. I just see Him with His arms held out waiting to give me a big hug. Come here. Come here. I don't care where you've been. Come here. That's how I see God. For a long time, I grew up in a Pentecostal church. And for a long time, I had this big Zeus image of God with a big lightning bolt and a Thor hammer in one hand and His lightning bolt in the other and waiting for you to mess up so you go, see there, I told you nothing. But you know what? It's a far stretch from that to come here. You know what I mean? That's a big stretch. That's That's a revelation. Because you know what? God's not out to get you. God's not sitting back waiting for you to... You know, every time you sin and mess up, He kind of goes, you know, it hurts Him just as bad as it does you. He goes, come on back this way. You know, He sees people that they start backsliding. They say, you know, they mess up and they go, oh God, and God's saying, come on back. No, don't run. Come on back. You know, so many times we get to that spot where we've messed up, you know, and we kind of repeat one of those sins and we throw our hands there and we give up. We run and we keep running. You know, the whole time God's saying, just don't run. Come on back. How many of y'all have ever, you know, when you got a 2-year-old that runs from you, and you're going, don't run, come back. That's what God's doing. He's going, no, don't run. This way. We can get past this. Come on. Y'all, we don't have to be perfect. God don't expect us. You know what? He does expect us to try. Christian means to be Christ-like. He wants us to try. That's Christ set the standard. Christ came on earth. He lived a perfect life. But you know what? Christ had to buy us back. Adam sold us. Christ came back to buy us back. He's the only one that had to live a perfect life. If it was up to any of the rest of us, guess what? We'd be in trouble. You don't have to be perfect. You have to strive for it. You know, Christ said that's what sin means. Sin, the word sin means to miss the mark. It's actually an archery term. It means miss the bullseye. That's what sin means. Christ is the mark. You know, sometimes, can I look around and ask, you know, is anybody in here just hit the bullseye every time, every day, all day long? Come on, I know some of you out there. There's some of us sinless people out there. No, that don't happen. But you know what? It ain't about that. It's about God is a judge of our heart. He's not a judge of our actions. Now, yeah, you know, our actions as a Christian are going to be judged in a white throne judgment. But there's a difference in sinning and being a sinner. You know what? Because when I accepted Christ in my heart, I was no longer a sinner. Yeah, I sin every once in a while. I miss the bullseye every once in a while. You know, I'm not just like Jesus. I try, but I'm not just like Him. So yeah, I sin. But there's a difference between sin and being a sinner. Amen? Because I'm going to tell y'all something. Don't you let anybody tell you that you're a sinner. I'm just an old sinner, saved by grace. No, you're not. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. I said you're the righteousness of God in Christ. You are in right standing with God because of what Jesus done. Amen. But see, that's when we have that revelation. That's when we can begin to love other people. And what time is it, somebody? Am I done? I'm not done. Can I have 5 more minutes? Y'all mind? Can I have 5 more minutes? He says, you know, one thing I wanted to touch on, I'm going to try to do this quickly, is forgiveness. You know, we're to love our neighbor. And a lot of times we hold a lot of things that our neighbors do against them. But, you know, Scripture tells us, how can we despise somebody that we can see and love somebody that we can't see? Now, this is a biggie to me because I've just gone through this. I've had, you know, some of y'all may know and some of y'all may not, but I had a pretty good funk here a year or two ago, and I was dealing with a lot of unforgiveness. I was dealing with a lot of issues. And here's the thing. I knew what the Scripture said to do, and in my soul, I was doing it. I was trying to. But you know what? In my heart, I wasn't. And I wasn't forgiven, and it started to affect me. The first thing it started to affect was my walk, my spiritual walk. The second thing it started to affect was my soul. It started to affect my mind, will, and emotions. Because I spent about 6 months where I was absolutely consumed with just borderline hatred. And I'll just put it out there like that. And that's not a good place to be, especially when you're on staff in church. And that wasn't a good place to be. And I had to withdraw. I just had to say, you know what, I need to step down because I'm not in the right place. My heart ain't here yet. But it began to start affecting every aspect of my life, because it got to where I was so consumed with this issue that I couldn't think about anything else. And I was PO'd all the time. That just constant, 24/7. I thought about it before I went to sleep. I thought about it when I woke up. I thought about it during my day. I thought about it all the time, and it ate me alive. And one day I was sitting in here. You know, I'd kind of hide back in the corner over there. I did it for about a year. And I was sitting in here, and I've always been pretty sensitive to when the Holy Spirit's moving. You know, and I could just tell, and I could sense, and it's just one of those gifts that God is blessed me with, is being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and I can tell when the Holy Spirit's moving. And I'm sitting back in this corner, and I'm looking around, and the whole church, I just know that the Holy Spirit's moving, but you know what? I don't feel a thing. I'm just as cold as... I hated it. And I was just an ice cube. And I'm thinking to myself, God, why can't I feel you? And he just plain told me. Yeah, you know, sometimes God just, you know, it wasn't a loud, thunderous voice, but it was plain in my mind. He said, you've built a wall. You know, you can see it happening, but you can't feel it because you've separated yourself from me. It wasn't him separating himself from me. It was me separating myself from him with my heart. And I said, God, I can't do this no more. You got to show me how. And he said, you forgive. Well, I know that. I said that. I did it. You know, no, you didn't. You know, you may have said it with your mouth, but you haven't done it with your heart yet. And it was kind of comical, because for about the next 2 weeks, everywhere I went, I was at a junk store in Melbourne. On the shelf, there's these little block letters that says forgiveness. About 2 days later, I went to my mom and dad's, and this is kind of gross, but I went to the bathroom, picked up one of them little bathroom readers, and it was this, I don't know, something about, I don't know, but first word on it was forgiveness. Showed a bunch of scriptures about forgiveness. For the next week, everywhere I looked, everywhere I turned, every book I read, every magazine I opened, everything on TV, forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. You ever seen those clips in TV and movies and stuff where, you know, there's something on somebody's brain, it's like every channel they switch it on is forgiveness, 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 forgiveness. That's what it was like. And I thought, God, well, I know this. I know I gotta forgive, but how do I do it? And, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm just some weirdo freak, you know, who God just speaks to in a loud, thunderous voice, but he told me how to do it. And he said, you know what, you've made a public display of your disdain. You need to make a public display of your forgiveness. And the Holy Spirit, he started feeding me this song. How many of y'all were here that Sunday that I sang that song that I wrote? Probably been, I don't know how long ago it was, but I'm sorry, Thor. But, I mean, it was like that whole night, you know, when he told me that whole night he's feeding me this story. Y'all, I could have wrote 5 songs probably with the stuff that he started feeding into my brain, because I opened myself up to it. And I said, God, you know, this is a heart thing, and you got to speak to my heart. It's because I had it in my head. I knew the truth. I knew it for a long time. I knew it when it first started, what I had to do, but God, how do you do it? And, y'all, it's a heart thing. God's a judge of the heart. But, you know, it's opened my eyes to a lot of things. I'm not near as cynical and not near as judgmental as I was before. You know, and I can honestly say, see, now that this junk is out of my heart and I can love myself again, you know what? I can love y'all on a deeper level because what God's done in my heart. Because I love myself, so now I can love you on another level. And the scripture tells us that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Y'all, that doesn't mean we have to go to Africa. Where's your world? Where's the borders of your world? You know what? I go to Melbourne every day. That's my world. You know, at the moment. So where can I preach the gospel? Where can I deliver the good news? Melbourne, Arkansas. Batesville, Arkansas. You know, when I go to Ash Flat, I can spread it there. You know, your world is where you're at. That's what you do. You know, if God calls you to go to Africa, amen, go. He ain't called me. Don't ask me to go, because I ain't going with you. My world's right here. But, you know, we got to love people, but it's about that. See, Jesus spoke of that. He said, reach up. He said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love yourself, y'all. Reach in. Reach in. Love yourself. Love your neighbor. Reach out. Amen. Y'all, that saying you see up here every Sunday about reach up, reach in, reach out, that's not just a little ditty. That's not just a little saying, you know, a little motto. Y'all, it's a lifestyle. That's the cycle of our life. You know, we reach up, we reach in, and we reach out. Then when we get to that place, we want to go to the next level. Say what? We go around it again. Reach up, reach in, reach out. Amen. I could go on all night, but I'll stop right there because I know I've run over a little bit. Y'all stand with me. Hope I didn't bore you too much tonight. Let's pray. If you lift your hands to heaven tonight. Father, we just thank you so much for who we are. Y'all just lift your voices for a second. Just thank him tonight. Father, we thank you so much tonight for who we are in you, Father, for the work that you've done on the cross, that you wiped our slate clean, Father, and we can now come boldly into your throne, Father. We can come face to face with you. We thank you for that tonight, Father, and we give you praise and glory for that tonight. And Father, I just pray for the bodies in this church, Father. We have a great week today, this week, that we can go out and we can spread your love and spread your gospel, Father, the way that you have called us to do. And if you believe that and you agree with that, everybody say, amen. Amen.